Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Citizens April 10th, 2018 Finance and Investment Committee meeting, publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register. If you are on the phone, please do not place this call on hold. Press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your line. Our meeting will convene in 2 minutes with roll call. Citizens Board and committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available at our website. Thank you for your patience.
Welcome to the Finance and Investment Committee for Tuesday, April 10th. Our first order of business is the approval of prior meetings minutes.
Chairman, would you like for me to do a roll call?
Governor Holton said the same thing, so let's go ahead and do that, please.
Thank you. Chairman Gardner?
Here.
Governor Aubuchon?
Here.
Governor Betty Brown?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Our first order of business is the approval of prior meetings minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
That motion carries. We're to item 2, market update. I'd like to recognize Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Governors. For the record, my name is Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James and Associates. There are currently 6.6 million people unemployed in the United States, or the unemployment rate is 4.1%. There are a total of 162 million civilians employed from a total civilian population of 257 million, or the labor participation rate is 62.9%. This is 4.4% less than the peak rate of 67.3%, which translated to over 10 million people, representing significant demographic changes and structural mismatch in our labor force over the last 15 to 20 years. Lastly, the U6 unemployment rate is currently at 8%. U6 includes part-timers looking for full-time job, as well as civilians and people employed, marginally employed, again reflecting significant skill set mismatch in the labor force. If we add up all of these numbers, there are potentially 15 to 16 million people available to join the labor force. And this is keeping the wages low, no pressure on the wage growth, as well as the inflation low. After increasing rates once in 2015 and once in 2016, Fed has increased rates 3 times more in 2017, March, June, and December of 2017, and so far, once in 2018. All of these 6 rate increases leads the Fed funds rate currently at 1.5 to 1.75% compared to 0 to 25 basis points in December of 2015. And we project that the Fed will increase rates at least once or twice more in 2018. However, with all of these increases, the long-term rates have not moved significantly, because Fed really has no control over the long-term rates. Fed can control the short-term rates, but significantly has no control over the long-term rates. This increase in the short-term rates has also narrowed the spread between 2- and 10-year Treasury. It was 1.26% right before the first Fed increase rate in December of 2015 to 48 basis points as of today. Again, the long-term rates reflect global rates where we are. So to put it in perspective, the 2-year rate in U.S. is 2.31% compared to Germany at negative 60 basis point and Switzerland at negative 88 basis point. Looking at 10-year rate, we are at 2.79 as of today compared to Germany at 52 basis point and Switzerland at 1 basis point. And that means there is potentially not much room in the long-term rates to go up, regardless of what the Fed does in the short run. In addition, $8.6 trillion of global debt is currently trading at negative yields. And that means there is a lot of money sitting outside waiting for to be invested in the U.S. fixed rate market. And partially it reflects the demographic changes as people are getting older, especially in Europe and Asia, and the pension funds are investing more and money into the fixed income market. How does that affect us? It helps us on the reinsurance side, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Recent volatility in the stock market is basically a noise, as markets are trying to price risk, which is hard to quantify and therefore hard to price. And we hear that risk every day, what's happening coming out of Washington, D.C., as whether it's a trade risk or whether some of the other noise. It's all noise, and the market is going to have a hard time pricing that risk. So we expect volatility to continue unless that risk goes away, or at least the perception of that risk goes away. From a positive perspective, corporate earnings are expected to grow because of the recent tax changes. And once the market figures out the noise, we expect volatility to come down and markets to go towards upward trajectory. Corporate bond markets have been strong, but we expect issuance to come down in 2018 because of repatriation of cash from overseas, as well as municipal issuance is also expected to come down in 2018 again due to tax law changes which eliminated advance refundings. And now looking at the risk transfer markets, the 2017 hurricanes caused approximately 10% of global reinsurance capital to go away. But most of that was absorbed by net income, and it was not a capital event. And the price on this year's reinsurance risk transfer pricing, the impact on this year's risk transfer pricing is going to be minimal, if any, at least for us. The most of the pricing impact we will see at the lower level, where there were some losses incurred by some of the primary insurers. The overall reinsurance pricing in 2018 is going to be almost similar to where the 2017 pricing was. We expect cat bond market to be strong. We expect over $10 billion of issuance this year. With $6 billion maturing, we expect that the overall cat bond market at the end of this year to be $35 billion, and that's putting further pressure on the traditional reinsurance market and keeping the rates low. A couple of cat bonds were triggered in 2017. However, the total losses came out to be only $333 million. So the capital markets are strong and behaving rationally. Again, we don't expect much to change in our risk transfer rate. And lastly, the short-term increase in interest rate is good for our investment portfolio, as most of our portfolio is 10 years and under, and our income should go up around $20 to $25 million more in 2018 with some of the changes in investment policy, as well as increasing the short-term rate. With that, I'll stop to see if there are any questions for me.
Members, any questions? Thank you, Cobb.
Thank you.
Okay, we're to the third item, the reinsurance and layer chart update.
Would you like the layer chart update first or the reinsurance update first?
What's your point, Jennifer?
Let's do the layer chart first.
Great.
The Citizens Reinsurance Plan considers and incorporates the transfer of hurricane risk in the coastal account to the global reinsurance markets. In 2017, Citizens transferred more than $1.3 billion of coastal account hurricane risk to the global markets, which included $350 million of coverage in the traditional wrap layer, which sits alongside and above the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund, $580 million of traditional aggregate coverage, of which $180 million is multi-year, two limits over 3 years, and $400 million of single-year coverage. Additionally, $100 million of single-year traditional coverage was purchased for the commercial non-residential book. Citizens also transferred $300 million of risk transfer to the global capital markets in the form of a three-year aggregate catastrophe bond. The proposed 2018 risk transfer program incorporates strategic elements from the continuation of the existing risk transfer program, which includes the carryover of the 2017 multi-year traditional aggregate coverage of $180 million and the $300 million cap bond. In addition, we are proposing $183 million of traditional coverage alongside the mandatory layer of the cap fund, an aggregate multi-year layer of $400 million to be split between the traditional market and the capital markets, and a $250 million traditional aggregate single-year layer to sit above the multi-year aggregate layers. Citizens is also evaluating the transfer of $100 million in losses in excess of $235 million, or right below the attachment of the cap fund's mandatory layer. Citizens has never purchased reinsurance below the cap fund attachment point. The cost of this covered layer may be relatively higher than the other risk transfer placements due to the lower placement within the capital structure. The attachment probability is 13.43%. The amount of reinsurance demand in this layer has also been affected by the losses from 2017, and therefore the pricing will be at a higher level on a risk-adjusted basis. In addition, we are exploring two different tranches for the commercial non-residential book. Both tranches are single-year traditional coverage. The lower tranche attaches at $78 million and provides approximately $56.7 million of coverage. The second tranche attaches at $267 million and provides $36 million of coverage. Citizens will evaluate the pricing quotes for these layers along with the other proposed layers and will determine the most cost-effective risk transfer program that meets the objectives of transferring risk in order to cover up to the 1-in-100-year storm while minimizing the surplus exposed. We will have a separate board teleconference in early May to present the board to present the proposed 2018 reinsurance program for the board's consideration and approval. So that completes my update on the layer charts. Any questions?
Members, any questions for Jennifer? Okay.
There's also, just to show, PLA and CLA are also included in your materials. The update for the reinsurance, we have been working with our co-brokers on the traditional side, Willis Re and Guy Carpenter. We completed the roadshow last month. We went to New York and Bermuda and then a trip to London. We expect the submission to go out later this week, and the reinsurers will have a time period to give us quotes back on those layers before we meet back together to come up with firm order terms. On the cat bond side, we've been working with our sole structuring agent, which is Citibank, and our joint book runner, which is BAML, and have had we've had one offshore meeting and structuring meeting, and we will be leaving next week for New York and Bermuda to start the roadshow for the cat bond, and then the following week we will be in London and Zurich. And hopefully all of this will close early May.
Great. Any questions for Jennifer? Okay, we are actually going to defer item four to the board meeting tomorrow, which is the citizens' account history for the benefit of new board members. We're going to revisit again why we have our current structure, what some of the complications are with that structure, and some of the complications of potentially combining that structure. So with that, let's go to item five, which is the investment portfolio update, please.
Sure. Behind tab five, you'll find the summary update, and then in the appendix, you'll find the full report. On slide one, the total portfolio is $10.02 billion, with $8.8 billion being externally managed and $1.2 billion being internally managed. The taxable portfolio is $8.07 billion, or approximately 81%. The tax-exempt portfolio is approximately $1.95 billion, or 19%. The total portfolio average duration is just over 4 years, with 3% maturing in less than 90 days and 27% maturing between 90 days and 3 years. The total portfolio income return for 1 year is 2.31. On slide two, the rates for 1-, 3-, and 5-year treasuries have been increasing over the last year, and currently, as of yesterday, are 2.06%, 2.42%, and 2.6%, respectively. The tax-exempt rates have also increased over the last year. On slide three, you'll see 88%, or $8.8 billion, of the portfolio is externally managed by 15 taxable and or tax-exempt portfolio managers. 12%, or $1.2 billion, of the portfolio is internally managed, consisting of operating funds, debt service funds, and debt service reserve funds. The taxable and tax-exempt portfolios both have very strong credit quality. 86% of the tax-exempt portfolio are rated AA or higher, and approximately 71% of the taxable portfolio is rated A or higher. Over 27% of the taxable portfolio is in treasury and agency securities. And slide four, the total portfolio return summary has 2.31% of income return over the last 12 months and 1.94 over the last 2 years. And that completes my report, unless there are any questions.
I got a quick question. What are you kind of estimating the investment income we're going to realize this year, and how does that compare to the prior 2 years?
As Jennifer said, over the last 2 years, our average return has been 1.94%, and the last 12 months were 2.31. So last year was 60 basis points above a year prior, and this year we expect at least our income to be 25 to 30 basis points higher than where we were last year. That translated to looking at our total portfolio of around $10 billion. It should translate into around $20 to $25 million.
Right.
of the additional income.
Right.
The total return may have volatility as the rates go up or down, but we are more income driven buy and hold portfolio. So we expect maybe at least conservative 20 to 25 million more this year.
Great. Thank you, Cobb.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, let's go to item six, the depopulation and clearinghouse update.
That is for informational, unless you want us to report on it.
I'll defer to my colleagues.
I think we made it informational and added it to FIC when we got rid of the DPOP committee.
Okay.
So, but if you'd like us to go over it, we're happy to.
No, I think you can just kind of, I think you confirm that the market is pretty calm right now. There's not a whole lot of DPOP activity that's occurring.
That is correct.
Okay, that's correct. Any other questions or color on that? Okay. I'll take a motion to adjourn unless there's other new business.
So moved.
Second.
This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.